Welcome to the April 29th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Making the Difference with God. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen, the Associate Pastor of Students and Families here. We are pleased that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. Whether you're a longtime member or first-time guest, we want to get a find out you were here this morning. There are pew pads on every row. We invite you to take those, everybody, and to fill that out, put your name, and check the appropriate boxes. Members and guests, we ask you to fill all the information out as you feel comfortable. We ask you to send it down to the end of the row so everybody has the opportunity to sign that. And then if you could, the last person, if you could send it back from where it started, so our ushers can get those at the end of the service, that would be great. We do ask the first person who signed it to rip off the pages that were used today and put that on top so our ushers can get those quickly at the end of the service. We appreciate you helping us out with this. A few announcements that I will make this morning. We are having children's time this morning, the time where all the children are invited to come down here and see me this morning right after the invocation. So children, come on down right after that prayer. And it is a regular schedule today. All the regular items that you will see noted on your on the back of your bulletin. There is no adult discipleship. That's the one change that you want to make about that. But everything else should be as normal. Except they are having channels. Channels is rehearsing. Channels is rehearsing this afternoon. Let's see. We are having exam packs. Our exam pack run where we go to all the colleges that we have students at in the state of North Carolina. I am leaving tomorrow morning. Many of you have already provided many of these snacks. We ask that you bring individually wrapped items. Could be cakes, could be cookies, could be cracker, whatever you want to bring. Let's see, what do I like? Brownies are good. I got to have travel food. So we want you, if you could bring those this afternoon and put them in the Adult One kitchen, we'll be making those tonight and getting on the road first thing in the morning. We are having a very exciting event next week is our second annual Spring Fling. Second time we're doing that next Sunday afternoon from 4 until 7. We're having lots of inflatable games and food outside and music out on the lawn. We want you to make plans to be there. This is a church-wide event next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Let's see. I want to recognize Mr. Russell Talley.
I'm here this morning on behalf of Sunday School here at College Park. I've always had a soft spot in my heart, Sarah might say my head, for Sunday School, because that's how I started out. That's how I was led to Christ. That's how I became a Christian, was through a good Sunday School class. They say these days, whoever they are, say that now that's not the way people come to church anymore, that worship is the thing and facilities and that sort of stuff. And they may be right, I don't know. But I would say that worship, Raymond might bring them in, but the fellowship of a good Sunday School class is what's going to make them stay. And that's what we're about here. And we do have a few of those kind of classes here at College Park the last time I looked. All of the folks who are here this morning who in some way work in a Sunday School department in any capacity, could you please stand at this time? Don't be bashful. Thank you. Fifty-two Sundays a year, unless it snows, these people are here for you. So tell them thank you the next time you think about it. And there's somebody else that I need to recognize on an individual basis that is also here every Sunday, whether she needs to be or not. And that is a young lady named Georgie Kitchen. And I'm going to ask her to come forward so I can gossip about her while she's on her way up here. You hear of one of the big birthdays is the big 4-0, right? Well, Georgie this year had the big 4-0 of Sunday school. She has not missed a Sunday of Sunday school in 40 years. Is that incredible? One thing happens, you can see she has an array of, show it to him, Joy. When you get up there in these high numbers, you have to special order these things. And we have to order them 3 years at a time to get the discount. And so they aren't here. They aren't here yet, so she's going to have to settle for a hug today. If you aren't involved in Sunday school, what are you waiting for?
We had a great week. It's a revival this past week, and so many of you worked so hard at making revival so powerful. And we appreciate all the people that put so many hours into revival this week, and I think we need to make it at least an annual affair, if not every week. So it was a great, great week, and we appreciate. And with that, I want to recognize Raymond for an announcement.
Many of you have asked about Randy and his mother, and I want to come this morning and let you know that even though he was not able to be with us Wednesday night, he did make it home to be at his mother's bedside. She passed away Friday morning at about 3 o'clock in the morning. But he really appreciates your prayers. He appreciates your support and blessing him while he was here. And he wanted me to give you that word. I also want to let you know that the service for his mother will be Tuesday at 2 o'clock at First Baptist Meridian, Oklahoma. I realize you may not be able to travel there, but he asked that you would please be in prayer for he and his family. Comanche Funeral Home in Comanche, Oklahoma will be handling those arrangements. I also would like to give you, if you have a pencil and pen, I would like to send him a note of encouragement. I know that he would treasure that. He really would, every one. And the phone calls he's received already, he's called me and let me know just how much those mean to him. So if you would like to send him a note, here's the address. And we'll have this in the church office if you're not able to get it this morning. But it's Walnut Ridge Baptist Church, street address is 2351 Country Club Drive, and the city is Mansfield, that's M-A-N-S-F-I-E-L-D, Mansfield, Texas, and the zip code is 76063. Walnut Ridge Baptist Church, 2351 Country Club Drive, Mansfield, Texas, 76063. Thank you very much for your support, your prayer, your attendance, all of those things which we feel like made revival a huge success. We'll be talking more about it, but want to thank you for your support, not only of the revival services, but of Randy in his time of need as he had to leave early. So thank you very much.
We do want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They're going to give you a little bit of information about the church. You have already given us information about yourself. You filled out the packet. You filled out the pew pads where you gave us your information, and we want to give some to you. So if you just raise your hand, if you're a guest this morning, and take these packets so that you can find out a little bit about our church. We are a friendly church, and we are centered on missions, centered on worship, and mostly centered on Christ. And that's why we have gathered this day, because of our belief in Jesus Christ. That is what draws us together for worship. Let us begin that now. You will find in your bulletin an invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading. And I invite you to stand now. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters.
Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob.
Amen. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Our Father God, we declare that you have done great and mighty things. For with your hands you created heaven and earth. You created all that we see. You created us for a relationship with you. And in our disobedience, in our desire to choose our own way, you provided a way back through your Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, you have done great and mighty things. You have given us purpose for life. You have given us mercy and grace and salvation and forgiveness and a reason for living. And so, Father, we come into this place glorifying your name and your name alone. Let everything that's done in this place be done for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to invite all the children to come down this evening.
All right. Good morning. Hey, hey. Go ahead and sit down, Jack. Sit down. All right, we got some more coming from the back. Did y'all get enough food this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
I had a thousand.
You did?
No. I was kidding.
Oh, you were kidding. Okay. I thought you might be. All right. Hey, have y'all ever been to a Celebration Station?
Me.
Oh, what happens? How do you feel when you go to Celebration Station? When you're walking, what are you doing? When you go out to Celebration, are you laughing? Are you smiling? Or are you kind of like, I don't really want to be here? How do you react when you go to Celebration Station? that face. I went to a place called Frankie's Amusement Park. It's a place in Raleigh, and it's like Celebration Station times 100. It's huge, and it's got these big things. They went into, and I'm making noises, and their faces just lit up. They were smiling. They were excited. Do you know who Moses is? There was a time in the Bible where his face, let me show you. It's kind of like this. You've seen this before, right? Flashlight, right? Okay. Right. Now, what happens if I shine it on somebody's face? What happens?
It does.
Eyes. Does it make my face shine?
Yeah.
The same thing happened. Thanks. The same thing happened to Moses. But what happened? He wasn't going to Celebration Station. He wasn't going to Frankie's. He went and he met with God. And so he went up on the mountain and he came down and he didn't even know that his face was shining. It was bright. He was smiling because he'd been in the presence of God. And people looked at him and like, what's going on? You see, when you and I, when we have a relationship with God, people are supposed to see our faces are a little bit different. That we are happy and that we're smiling and we shine and they can see God in us. So every day I want you to help me shine for God. Let your face radiate. Make a difference for God. People that you see at school, they should see you're different. People at your mom and your dad, they should see that you're different. That you're making a difference for God. And they need to see it in your smiling faces. I love seeing you guys smile. That makes my day. You radiate God when you smile. Can you help me do that? All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love and for the fact that you want a relationship with us. And you remind us in Exodus chapter 34 that when Moses came into your presence, that you were so beautiful and so magnificent that he couldn't help but be changed. And his face was changed because of you. Help us every day to make a difference and to shine your light everywhere we go. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
As a people of God, we share the Word of God and the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture. We'll read first this morning from a familiar psalm, Psalm 23. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible somewhere close to you. Psalm 23, beautiful words from King David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. From John's Gospel in the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 22. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one." From the book of Acts, in the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. And from, continuing in the New Testament, from the book of Revelation, in the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You're starting over now, under the sun. You're stepping forward now, a new life has begun. A new life has begun. There's only grace, there's only love, there's only mercy, and believe me, it's enough. Your sins are
As we enter into a time of prayer, I want to let you know about several among our church family who have gone on to be with the Lord in the past 2 days. On Friday morning, Ethel Mason, one of our homebound members and long time member of College Park, passed away. And we're going to have a memorial service for her tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the chapel at Forsyth Cemetery. Also, on Friday evening, Miss Hattie Swain Tutterow, the sister of Jeanette Stoneman and Mary Lee Swain passed away. The services for Miss Tutterow, the service will be tomorrow at 2 p.m. at Hayworth Miller, and there will also be a visitation tonight from 6 to 8 at Hayworth Miller. So I want you to be aware of those concerns. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, as Marcy has so beautifully sung, only grace. Only grace and your love for us can explain the things that you are allowing us to experience in our lives. The blessing of eternal life. The hope that comes from the knowledge of life through Jesus Christ. Lord, as we look back and reflect on what has been an extraordinary week in the life of our church, we acknowledge your grace and your love. Sunday through Wednesday, we worshiped. We worshiped together as the body of Christ. We worshiped together out in the open. We worshiped with our community. We worshiped. We worship, Lord, because we believe in you and we wish to honor you through our music, through our prayer, through our words, and through the reading of Scripture. Lord, and as we worshiped, we were revived by your grace and your love and the knowledge of you. Lord, this week we had to say a temporary goodbye to some that we love. Friends, family members, thanks to your grace, we can move on to maintain our hope, to maintain the knowledge that those that we love who believe in you, we will see again. Only because of your grace, only because of your mercy, these blessings, these promises that we do not deserve. Lord, as we go on and even as we seek to deal with things that we don't understand, we seek to deal with things that are difficult and they're maybe beyond our simple human minds, we cling to hope, to love, and to grace, knowing that you know far more than we know, that your plan is far greater than our plan, and that all that matters is we put our trust in you. Lord, help us this week to be all that we can be in your name, to seek your calling for our lives, to make a difference in the lives of others, to help others to understand that love and grace and peace that comes only with a personal relationship with you. Lord, thank you for showing your grace on our church and on each of us. Grace far greater than all our sins, and a grace that makes a difference in our lives. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today to praise your name and to thank you for all that you have given to us as individuals, as families, and as a congregation. This past week has provided us with experiences that have filled us with many emotions, feelings, and challenges, and in some ways will challenge our lives forever. Lord, we thank you for bringing Randy to us and allowing him to teach us about forgiveness, temptation, surrendering to you, and understanding how important the choice to follow you is. As we prepare to give back a portion of all that you have given to us, allow these gifts to work through your will. Hear our prayers for those families who are hurting, and ask that they will find comfort and warmth in your everlasting light. Lord, we thank and praise you for opening our eyes to show us that our focus is best spent living a life of significance instead of just a life of success. We pray these things in your holy Son's name. Amen.
just beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
So what now? So what now? We've been through 90 days of focus. We have experienced Holy Week together. We have celebrated Easter. We've experienced revival in a logistical as well as a personal way. So what now? My question to you is it going to make any difference? We started this journey together January 1. But is it going to make any difference? Are you going to apply anything that you've learned? Is it going to make a difference in your life at all? And so this morning we want to begin a series entitled Making the Difference. And we're going to talk this morning about making the difference with God. And so it leads to the natural question is what is difference? What is difference? Now, my daughter was the math facts queen at Vianna Elementary. And I was so proud of her. It warms a daddy's heart. She was. I mean, she could smoke them on those math facts, baby. She could just roll those things out. And so if you ask her what the difference is, she would tell you that that's what's left after you take away something, right? Exactly. Do you remember the old equation, C minus B equals A? Let's check to see how much you remember. In that equation, C minus B equals A, what is C known as? Where's our elementary school teachers? We don't use these words a lot anymore. We really don't. It's the minuend. Do you remember that? The minuend. That's right. Did that ring a bell? No. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. What is the B? You have the minuend minus the... Yeah. Okay. Now we're catching on. The subtrahend equals A, and A is the difference. Exactly. So the difference is what's left when you take away something. So in that vein, let's look this morning. What happens when you take away personal sin? You've dealt with personal sin. It's taken away. What happens when you take away the hurt and forgive someone? When you experience forgiveness, what happens then? What happens when you take away what tempts you? When you turn that over to God? What happens when you deal with your disappointments and you give those completely to God? What happens? Now, confession of our sin leaves us at a point where we can be guilt-free. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but here's the deal. False guilt feels exactly like real guilt. It has the same physical, emotional, and spiritual effect on you. It depresses you. It can absolutely destroy you. Guilt can destroy you. So we have to understand that there is no condemnation in Christ. We have to understand that. Now, that doesn't mean that we decide, well, we're just not going to obey the law because there's no condemnation in Christ. No, that's not what that means. The law was given to protect us. Remember, back in the day of Moses, the law was given to teach slaves how to live as free people. It was to protect them. It wasn't to stifle them or to cramp their style. It was to protect them. And there is also that thing of consequences. When you break the law, there are consequences. Now, God removes the guilt, and He removes the stain of the sin, but sometimes He chooses not to remove the consequences. What no condemnation in Christ means, however, though, is that our eternal destiny is not based on the law. Our eternal destiny is based on the redemptive act of Jesus Christ. He was the sacrificial lamb. And so as we acknowledge that and as we confess, we know that we're not perfect. And what that should do is put us on our knees before God in confession and in worship. And that's what we've experienced this week. So now the guilt is gone and we can understand that when we confess our sin, God forgives it. Okay, so we remove that. What's left when we remove excuses? When we take away excuses, when we understand, we fully understand that we are accountable personally before a holy God for our actions and for our motives. So let's take away excuses. What happens when we take away and remove our mask? We remove our pride. We remove our selfish ambition. We remove all of these things. What are we left with? I believe that we are left with a heart that is ready to receive the full blessings that God wants to pour out in us. Amen? I believe that. And I believe that there are many of us that are poised right at that place where we've dealt with a lot of this garbage in our life. And now we're poised and we're ready to receive God's blessing. But in order to do that, I also believe that we need to be real with God. We need to be real with Him. There's a story told about a visitor that goes to the White House, and that was during the Coolidge administration. I personally do not remember that administration, but I understand that Calvin Coolidge was not one of the warmest people. He was kind of had a reputation for brevity and kind of a curt nature. And so this visitor, as he goes to the White House, he is just a little bit concerned that he's going to make a mistake, that he's going to do something wrong. And so as he's sitting in breakfast with the president, he just determines that he's going to be as invisible as possible.
he's just going to kind of, anything the president does, he's going to kind of do that too, so he doesn't stick out. And he did not want to have any faux pas or major digression of etiquette, if you will. So as the president begins doing things and motioning and talking, the visitor kind of does the same thing. Well, everything was going well until the president caught on what the guy was doing. And at that point, the president reaches over and he grabs his coffee and he pours it into the saucer. And so the visitor, so he does the same thing. He's sitting there with his saucer and then the president grabs the cream and he pours a generous amount of cream into the coffee. And this, he likes cream in his coffee, so he does the same thing. And then the president reached down and put the saucer on the floor for his cat. My point is this. There's a difference between those who just fake it in hopes of getting by, in hopes of fitting in, so that no one will notice they're not the real deal. There's a difference between those who play church and between those who are real, those who are authentic about their faith, about what they believe and what they do. And that choice is before us this morning. The passage of Scripture I would like to read as our text this morning comes from Exodus chapter 34. Jeff has already alluded to it this morning. He's talking about the radiant face of Moses. And I want us to read that passage together. It's Exodus chapter 34, and we'll begin in verse 29 and read a few verses up through verse 35. Exodus 34, 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the presence of the Lord to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. Moses, in this passage, is an excellent example of finally someone who got real. Do you remember the movie The Ten Commandments? Charlton Heston, remember? How many of you have seen it? Help me here. Okay, good. Now, who was the director of this movie? Say it louder. Okay, Cecil B. DeMille. So those of you that want to pronounce it Cecil, sorry. It's Cecil B. DeMille. Now, in this movie, which you always see at Christmas time, you always see at Easter, and is now available on DVD with bonus features, this movie, do you recall how Cecil changed the appearance of Charlton Heston to reflect this whole thing of God's glory? What? Exactly. His hair turned white. With the y'all are sharp this morning. His hair turned white, and his features began to look a little older, a little more mature, if you will. That's how he did it. Now, by today's standards of special effects, it looks a little strange. It looks a little odd, but it accomplished the purpose of what the producer wanted to do. He wanted to show that a change had taken place. Now, round two. When did that change take place in the movie? We stumped the choir, didn't we? When did it take place? Who said it? She's two for two. It took place in the movie after the burning bush. Well, see, that's not correct. Aren't you glad you came today? In the movie, they say at the burning bush, but according to Scripture, that's not what the Bible tells us. It did not happen at the bush. Moses took on God's glory at the second giving of the law. He went back up the mountain a second time, and that's when it says to receive God's commandments and to replace the ones he broke earlier. Now, this change took place after the second giving of the law, not the first. Why do you suppose? Why do you think Moses changed now? I personally believe the difference took place because Moses had gone from a place, an attitude of getting by, to finally getting real with God. Consider this. At the burning bush, Moses was kind of a reluctant emissary. Okay? But Lord. He had all kinds of excuses. When he stood before Pharaoh, he was following orders. He was following through on what he was told to do. As he led the people in the first days of the wilderness, he was constantly saying, "What am I to do with these people? Lord, what am I to do with these people?" Up to this point, the whole thing was God's idea. God's idea. Young people, it is a well-documented phenomenon that when young people leave Christian homes and go to college, they, quote, some of them lose their faith. And at college, you're going to find yourself in a situation where you're going to encounter temptations that you probably did not have to counter at home. You're going to encounter professors that teach things that might throw you a little bit. They may make you ask questions, and that's part of education. But here's the deal. You should not lose your faith. Because, quite frankly, if you lose your faith, it was never your faith. What happens is you go through life for the first 18 years, and sometimes you're just kind of living on mommy and daddy's faith, or you're living on the youth minister's faith, or the pastor's faith, or some other church member. You're living on their faith. And so when you get to the point where you question or something throws you, you just chuck the whole bag. And the point is, it was never your faith to begin with. It was not integrated. It was not a part of who you are. I challenge you, discover who you are in God's plan. Test Him, try Him. He will make Himself real to you. Do that now. When you go to college, it's probably not the best time to start in that avenue. I would argue that if you lose your faith, it was never your faith. You need to discover for yourself. You can't lose something that you never had. The bottom line is to survive the challenges to your faith, young people, old people, everybody. If we're going to survive the challenges to our faith, we have to mature beyond the point of depending on the faith of our fathers or our mothers or anyone else. And that's what I believe happened to Moses. He came down from this mountain. The first time up the mountain, he came down and he encountered something that tested him. Let's read about it. It's in Exodus 32. Exodus 32, beginning in verse 19. He has the first set of tablets, and he comes down the mountain. And it says, "When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them in pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it up into powder and scattered it on the water, and he made the Israelites drink it. And he said to Aaron, 'What did these people do to you that you led them into such a great sin?'" Now, no one told Moses to smash the tablets. No one told him to melt down the idol, grind it up. No one told him to sprinkle it in the water and tell the people to drink it. This was Moses' idea. And the reason I am confident in saying that it was Moses' idea is because if it had been God's idea, that's an important detail. And I believe it would have been recorded. So what happens then? Then he turns on Aaron. Up to this time, Aaron had kind of been his mouthpiece, right? But Lord, I don't talk plain. And he said, "Okay, I'll give you your brother Aaron." Aaron had been his mouthpiece up to this point. Ever since the burning bush, Aaron had been there to support him in his faith, but not any longer. Moses has learned that he cannot lean on Aaron's faith. For the first time in their relationship, he rebukes his brother. Now, after this confrontation, we see something amazing happen. All of a sudden, you start reading about the fact that Moses is really caring for these people. He's not saying, "What am I to do with these people?" Now he's caring for them. And he's in intercessory prayer to God, trying to substitute himself for the people in those cases where God's angry. in chapter 32, verses 11 and 12, in chapter 32, verses 31 and 32, directly he places himself as a substitute for God's wrath. This is a change. This is a dramatic change in his life, and it's such a pivotal event in Moses' life that God uses it as an example for us. Paul, when he was writing to the church at Corinth, he makes reference to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Notice in verse 18, it says that we as Christians can reflect God's glory. What an incredible privilege. What an awesome responsibility to reflect God's glory as Moses did. Actually, I really like the way the King James says it. And it's probably as a child I memorized it that way. It says, "But we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory into glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord." We can be changed from glory to glory. In other words, we change in our lives little by little. As one of the popular movies says, baby steps. Baby steps to the elevator. Sometimes we take baby steps. Sometimes we're able to stride normally as we feel God's power. But we're being changed and transformed step by step. And the change may not come overnight. We see God working through us. We walk closely with God every day. We read from His Word. We pray. We fellowship with believers. And we exercise our faith by being a witness. Making the difference in our relationship with God comes through daily surrender and obedience. So how do we make that difference? 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 3 tells us that we make that difference when we're zealous for the things of God. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13 through 15, it tells us we can make that difference when we care for other people. Do you know the difference between a fake diamond and a real diamond? Cindy, I hope you can. How can you tell the difference between a fake diamond and a real diamond? Who said it? Somebody said it cuts glass. It'll mark glass. It'll scratch glass. Right? You've heard that, right? You've seen the movies. Okay? It will cut glass. See, we'll know a real diamond by the mark that it leaves. Just as the world will know a real Christian by the mark that we leave. Has revival begun in your heart? Is revival taking place? If so, it will be evident. So how do we make a difference? Let's review just a moment. We have to deal with our personal sin, confess it, and let God remove the guilt. We have to forgive others because we've been forgiven. We have to remove what tempts us. We have to acknowledge that and surrender it to God. Understand that we're personally accountable to a holy God. We have to understand that disappointments are going to come. And it's not about us. It's about God and surrendering to Him. And if we're going to surrender daily ourselves to God in obedience, then we will begin to make a difference. If we'll do these things, we'll have the benefit of walking with God daily. And if we get real with God, then I believe, like Moses, others will see a difference. It will be evident. Now, next week, we're going to talk about making a difference in our relationships with our work associates, with our schoolmates, classmates. We're going to talk about how to do that. And I want to challenge you this morning to invite a classmate, young people, children. Invite a classmate to church next week. Adults, invite a work associate. Volunteer to come by and pick them up. Will you do that? If you will invite someone to church next week, classmate, friend, work associate, if you'll do that, I want you to raise your hand now. Okay? Look around. We're going to have to make a little room. We'll have a lot of guests next week. That's a good thing to do. If you will invite someone, that is a good thing to do. You've seen the t-shirts, good, better, best. Okay, the good thing is to invite a friend to church. The better thing is to share your faith with them through words and deeds. The best thing to do is to pray that God will give you an opportunity to lead them to Christ. Amen? Now, let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, to praise your name, to worship you, to learn how to get real with you, to learn how to make a difference in our relationship with you and how that's reflected and how others will see that. Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts and minds even now. Continue to encourage us so that revival will be new in us and be renewed in us each day. Father, we love you and we praise you. We pray that our lives would glorify you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, as you leave from here, there are going to be... Tim, would you do me a favor, buddy? Come here, you and Ryan, if you would. Hop on up. It's okay. We're not going to embarrass you. Ryan, if you would take this to that door right over there. And Tim, if you would take that to that door right there. Okay. As you leave here this morning, you're going to have an opportunity to pick up a small little key tag, a charm, whatever you want to call it. And it says on it, making the difference. They're at both doors now, and there's some at the back. Pick that up as you leave, because that's going to be our theme for about a month. And I want you to be reminded that we should be desiring to make a difference, making the difference in multiple relationships. But this morning, if you want to come and as we sing an invitation hymn and respond to what God has been leading you toward in this time of worship, or perhaps during this week of worship, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. It's difficult to make a difference in your relationship with God if you don't have a relationship with God. So that's the first thing. If you'd like to receive Christ, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Him. Second, if you want to get real with God, say, God, I've been faking it along. I've been playing church. I didn't really mean to. It's just life's busy and I'm really not real with you, but I want to settle that this morning. You come. The altar's open. Have a time to pray with God and just be real and honest and transparent with Him. He will encourage you. We will encourage you in your decision. Perhaps you'd like to join this church. There are many ways that we receive members, and we invite you to come. Whatever your decision is, and come and make that public if you would desire to as we sing together now. I hope that you'll be in prayer for myself and Ward and Jeremy. Tonight we will begin revival services up at Shoals Baptist Church in Surrey County in the Pinnacle area. One of our young men who came through the college ministry here at College Park, a fellow named Scott Kyles. Many of you will remember him as part of our college ministry. He's pastor of that church, and he asked me to come preach a revival up there. And so we begin tonight at that church, and Ward and Jeremy are going to be our worship leaders. They're going to do all the music, and we've been talking about that and planning that. So if you would, please pray for us and pray for them, that they would have a chance to experience maybe what we've experienced as a church, a renewal, a revival time. So I ask your prayers for that. Would you pray with me now as we hear a benediction from God's Word? From Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, he said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen."
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.